Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The sexual revolution finds its way into all sorts of places, talking about the military there. What about the heartland? What about places like Iowa? Now, Iowa's a strange bird when it comes to politics, but it's not the place you expect a civil rights commission to be talking about it. What about the military? That's kind of the heartland, too, of America. It's also become a experimental laboratory for social engineering when it comes to don't ask, don't tell, when it comes to now transgenderism. What effect will the opening up of the military to transgenderism have on the military, and what's behind it? How do we wrap our heads around transgenderism? Joining us to talk about a new policy allowing transgenders openly to serve and to be accommodated in the U.S. military, Holly Scheer. She's a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent article for The Federalist titled Trans Mandate Displays Military Focus on Social Engineering, Not National Security. Holly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
Most of us who are or have operated with the categories of male and female in the logical, rational, biological, natural sense find the idea of transgenderism deeply confusing, not just morally troubling, but confusing. Can you explain it to us?
I absolutely can. I think this is one of the reasons that this has been so difficult for us to deal with as a church. We're almost being forced to play like a cultural catch-up here. We've been debating feminism and, you know, whether women can be pastors or speak in the church or, you know, hold offices or vote or whatever, and society and the world have moved on. And so we need to ask how we can talk about men and women and what they can and can't do. But first, we need to actually talk about what manhood and womanhood even are. And that's where transgender people come in. It's the essence of, is being a man or a woman birth and biology and genetics? And I think that's what most of us grew up believing and thinking. And the transgender movement is more that this is changeable. It's based on feelings and desires and inside whether you identify as a man or woman, not based upon how you were assigned at birth or how your DNA or your body match up. And when we talk about broader concerns in the church, in the military, in society about gender, about marriage, the first thing we need to do is talk about creation. We were created male. We were created female. We were not suggested male and female. This was not changeable.
Okay, so there's this term, self-identify, and of course it's going to come into a practical use when we talk here about the military policy. What in the transgender community does self-identify actually mean?
It means that regardless of how you look, how you, you know, how your parents, how the doctors decided your gender was, it's based upon how you feel. That if you're born a man, that you don't feel like a man, you feel like a woman. And so you decide then that actually means that you are not a more feminine man. You are not just an empathetic man or something. You are actually a woman. And then you can go about legally becoming a woman. And this means you can change your name, you can change your birth certificate, you can change who you can get married to, that you are denying the essence of your birth. You are denying your creation.
What has the Pentagon decided to do with respect to those who identify as the opposite or something different than their birth gender?
They have decided that they can now openly serve in their identified gender, that, you know, if you were born a man and you've decided you are a woman, you can now be a female soldier. If you were born a woman and you now think that you are a man, you can go be a male soldier. That, you know, instead of talking about which bathroom you need to use, it's instead talking about which barrack you sleep in. It talks about the change in physical fitness standards and uniforms and healthcare that TRICARE will be required to pay for, not just while you're actively serving, but for the rest of your life with Veterans Affairs and the healthcare that you and your dependents will be able to access.
The military talks about and has at least had as it's a very high priority combat readiness. Those objections were raised when Defense Secretary Ashton Carter announced this change in policy for the military. He says combat readiness isn't going to be affected. What do you say, Holly?
I think it's ludicrous to think that, you know, and everybody in the military is very quietly and not quietly, depending on how secure they are in their positions, talking about this. Part of readiness is a total trust in the person you are serving with. And how do you totally trust someone who isn't clear about anything about themselves? There's also concerns. Many of the places that our military is actively engaged right now across the world are very staunchly against not just gay people, but anything out of the norm. And so we are taking people and we are going to be sending them into actively hostile and dangerous areas. We look at in the Middle East, ISIS and other groups are throwing homosexual men, you know, off the roof of buildings. What are they going to do if they capture a U.S. military member who is transgender?
So let's talk about what impact this might have on where it touches the church. There are military chaplains. Christian churches have military chaplains serving actively, and many of them have church beliefs and teachings that simply do not recognize someone other than what gender they were born to. What are the implications there?
The implications are really far-reaching. First, there's the honesty issue. You know, many transgender people will not tell you that they are actually transgender. Their goal is to pass, and to pass means that whoever encounters them thinks of them as just any normal or typical man and woman. And so for our chaplains, it's an issue of, will they even know, you know, that they are dealing with a transgender person? And so if your church body has doctrine and stances against this, how do you deal with that when the initial premise is so dishonest? Lutherans have had a very long-standing history of serving in the armed forces as chaplains. We had one in the Civil War back in 1862, actually, with the Ohio Regiment. So this is not some new thing for us being involved in the military, and it is so important to support not only the troops, but their spouses, their children, their families. We need chaplains that can serve fully, that can serve without fear of reprisal if they turn someone away for their gender or sexuality.
I take it the chaplains would, at the very least, have to question whether or not they can promulgate their church's teachings that would run afoul of accepting transgenderism.
Yeah, we have a resolution, actually, that will be coming in this convention this coming week. It's Resolution 204, and it is to uphold the right of chaplains to not have to provide services that go against our church teachings on gender, on sexuality, for both active duty people, people in the reserves, their family. So it is really important that we do this to help shore up the position for all of our men who are trying to faithfully serve.
Finally, then, Holly, how do we, in a practical way, how do we deal with members of family, loved ones, friends, and talk about this issue in a reasoned, rational, loving way, this issue occasioned by the military's acceptance of the transgender categories?
First, I think we always need to show compassion and empathy to people. I mean, we're Christians and we need to act like it, but we also need to remember that love is not leaving people in sin. Love is not leaving them to, you know, something worse than discrimination in this life, to eternal punishment for stepping outside of God's clear plan in creation. You know, if you're a friend or your family member or someone you come across when you're living out your vocation is transgender, or even broader, you know, this is such a huge issue on social media right now. People are being exposed to transgender Lutherans, even on their social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. And how do you react? Do you uphold their feelings? Do you call them their new name? Do you ask them to return to, you know, their gender, their sex that they were assigned at birth, even if doing that is painful for them? So many transgender people will tell you that being forced to be a man if they think they're a woman is terrible, is horrible, makes them feel suicidal even. And obviously we do not want to burden or hurt people, but we need to remember that upholding a lie is always wrong, that it is always better to help people access actual mental health care, to help them seek out doctors that will, you know, address them as a whole person instead of just going with what is the current political bias here. We want people to be able to be Christians. We want people to be able to live their life under the gospel. Living as a woman when you are not a woman, living as a man when you are not a man, it puts you under the law. There is no hope there. There is no love there.
Holly Shearer is a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent article for The Federalist titled "Trans Mandate Displays Military Focus on Social Engineering, Not National Security." Read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Holly, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July fits right in with this conversation. Sexual Morality in a Christless World is the title, and it deals with these very things that the church will, of necessity, struggle with and find answers in God's Word to. The book is called Sexual Morality in a Christless World. Find out more about it at issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Sexual Morality in a Christless World, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about classical versus contemporary art in the church. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.